We'll turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Tonight we're going to have lesson number 7 on the subject of growing. We're talking about the importance of growth in the Christian life. And boy, growth is what the whole Bible's all about. It's really just packed full of teaching. Proverbs chapter 3. Once you arrive there, why don't you stand? Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to start with verse number 1. And we're going to read all the way through verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Look back at me, if you will. The lesson tonight is this: you're going to grow by making your decisions by God's truth, and not any other way. If you will make all your decisions according to the Bible, you're going to grow. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Seems like a simple statement, but I think there are few people who spend their day making decisions based on the Bible, when all our decisions should be based on the Bible. I hope you'll grow in your decision making, and you'll do it by letting the Bible make your decisions for you. Let's pray. Father, bless us now. Take the sermon and use it to get glory to thyself. Help me, Father, to make sense to your people so that they might grow in their decision making. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me remind you, we spoke 1 week about what brings church growth. Our second week, we studied the topic of the fact that we're commanded to grow. God expects you to grow. The third week, we talked about growth by doing what we're not currently doing. Growth is you adding something that you're not already doing. And really, maybe that lesson has made more of an impact than most, because I've heard a lot of people say, "Well, I need to try to do that. It's not something I prefer. It's not something that I like. It's not something I've done in the past. But I realize that by doing it, it will grow me." And folks, that's the truth. You're not going to grow if all you do is what you're already doing. You're not going to grow if all you do is what you like to do. You're not going to grow if all you do is what is pleasant to you. Growth includes stepping out beyond where you're at. Week number 4, I told you that growth comes through failure. And so, many of us are on our way. I feel like, hey, if failure is a precursor to success, then I'm on my way. Week number 5, growth comes through obedience. You're never going to grow without obedience. Then week number 6, that was the Christmas Eve, and you remember I used the boxes, the gift wrap packages, and I showed you what I called time-released growth. We grow, and that then it develops, and we go to growing a little more, and then a little more, and a little more. And thank God that God lets us grow like that. He lets us start where we're at, and a little at a time, like stair steps, we climb the ladder of success in our growth. Tonight I call it grow by making your decisions by God's truth, not any other way. I'll start out in a very obvious spot. The Bible is God's Word. You know, God knows everything. God's way is a perfect way. God's way is always the best way. God's way is always the safest way. God's way never causes failure. God's way is taught in God's Word. God teaches us His thoughts through His words. Some people think that there's a part of God out there somewhere that's mysterious, and we can tap into the mysteriousness of God and we can get something from it. Can I tell you something? We have all the truth we need written down and placed in book form. There are people that are searching for an extra special word of knowledge. Good gravy, you've got 66 books of the knowledge of God. Why would you need to be seeking for anything else? You've not drained this thing of all of its information. And those people that are trying to get that word of knowledge, and they say, oh, God spoke to me. You probably had anchovies on your pizza last night, and it's not God speaking to you, it's your anchovies speaking to you. You got to be careful with that sort of weird, mysterious, God came to me in the night. You've probably just been watching too much late night spook TV. But God will come to you in His Word, and God will show you in His Word what He has for you. Now, this is about growing and our decisions. Let me start out then. Point number one is this. Let me tell you the wrong ways that we make our decisions. And I love something that my wife has said to our children when they were young, when they were children, when they were teens, now as adults. My wife, I've heard her say to them, you know, we'll be on the phone with one of our grown married kids, and my wife will say, just remember, life is a series of decisions. Life is a series of decisions. What happens in your life is based on your decisions. My decisions, 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 they're so important. And do you realize, folks, the number of decisions we all make in a day? You say, I probably made 3 or 4 today. You made more than that because you got more clothes on than that. The number of decisions that are made in a day are phenomenal. You know, we're to walk with the Lord. We're to be making decisions all day long the way He would make them. Those are the most successful Christians. But we make decisions the wrong way, for instance. And I ought to say this. As we grow in the Lord, we make our decisions less and less by using the methods I'm about to mention. You will not grow, and you are not growing, if you are making your decisions the way I'm about to mention. I'm going to mention some of the wrong ways that we make decisions. For instance, by our emotions. By our emotions. Jeremiah 17:9 says, for the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you make your decisions by emotion, you're going to make wrong decisions. You know, passion is an emotion. Be careful, folks. Passion will lie to you. Spring fever will lie to you. Do you realize that all the convertibles are worth more money in the spring? And a passion and a nice spring day can cause you a financial catastrophe in regard to a decision. Emotion. We make decisions emotionally. You know, good salespeople know how to appeal to your emotions. Ladies, you're extra emotional. And I think God gave ladies some extra emotions. They help balance out men. I had a man say to me one time, he said, Pastor Owens, you have the compassion of a brick. And I thought, well, that was a real compliment. But Mrs. Owens make up for it. You know, we were doing something the other day. She looked over me and we were watching a Christmas DVD or something. She said, are you crying? I said, no. She said, I am. And she said, why not? I said, I don't want to. She said, I do. Ladies, let me warn you. I believe that scripturally, the devil will work your emotions. Matter of fact, the devil could work a lady's emotions in a marriage to get out of the family what the devil wanted. Do you understand? Do you know who Satan went to in the Garden of Eden? Went to Eve because he could work her emotions a little bit. And then she could have some influence over Adam. And I'm not saying that. I'm not attacking you, ladies. I don't feel that way about it. I'm just telling you the fact is you have extra emotions. You know they're there. Your husband knows they're there. And you have to be careful, though. You can't make your decisions by emotion. Emotions are not all bad. God gave us emotions. But they were not given to us to make decisions. They're a spice in life. They can be a good thing, but you have to be careful. Here the Bible says, for the heart is deceitful. Someone, you know, in this world they say, follow your heart. Your heart will get you in so much trouble. Your heart is that thing that tells you to go to the dessert bar before you go get your salad. Your heart will mess you up. And I'll tell you, if you go to a public school, you need to be very careful because you'll hear the secular philosophy. Or if you go to a liberal Christian school, you'll hear the secular philosophy, follow your dream. What? Where's that in the Bible? Follow what? How you feel. Follow your emotion. Let your heart be your guide. Your heart will cause you to end up being a blooming idiot. So I say to you, you're going to grow in the Lord if you're careful how you make your decisions. One of the wrong ways to make decisions is making them emotionally. I tell a lot of people this. I'll use the term a bomb. A catastrophe hits in your family. Can I recommend something? Could I recommend that if a bomb hits that you let the smoke settle a little bit before you start making decisions? Because when we get hit, our emotions flare up and we could run off to go do something that not even wise. Be careful. Your emotions will lie to you in your decision making. There's another way that we use to make decisions that's not a good way. It's by our upbringing. Now, I think people that have been brought up to live according to the Bible, obviously I'm not referring to that. But do you know how loyal we can be to, well, my dad said, Uncle Roy, well, my grandma. Our upbringing does not always, what some of the passed down statements and some of the philosophies of the family. Well, our family, God's family and God's book is the safest way to make decisions. I have a lot of things that my parents taught me that are good things, but you can trace all the philosophy that's good back to the Bible. And then I had some other things that our family said that was just flat out stupid now that I look at it. 2 Kings 17:41, I won't go into the whole story here, but it says, and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they run to this day. Here's somebody that was serving graven images, because their grandparents did, their parents did, and the children did. But they were just passing down a false god from generation to generation. I don't think if your parents or your grandparents teach you biblical philosophy, then great. It's not necessarily theirs. But boy, can we pass things down from generation to generation that are not real smart. So I'm just saying, be careful that inherited philosophies sometimes are not so good. And so, you know, I know the parents of two people in this room. Now, I've met a few of your parents, but I mean, I know, if you will, intimately, two sets of parents in this room. I'm not attacking your parents. I'm just telling you in general. We all have to be careful that which was passed down from the previous generations are not always real, real smart things. And they won't always lead us to success. So be careful. I said, number one, our emotions can get us into trouble with our decision making. Our upbringing sometimes can get us in trouble with our decision making. Thirdly, our friends. And by following our friends. I don't know if the teenagers sing this song, but I love when the scripture is sung to Proverbs 1, verse 4. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. We'd sing, consent thou not, consent thou not. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You know something? I'm glad that verse is in there because I'll tell you something, folks. Our friends can influence us to make decisions that are destructive. Just destructive. So be careful in your decision making. In your decision making, if your emotions determine your decisions, they're not going to be strong. If your upbringing was not scriptural, it may not be good decision making. Our friends can lead us astray. If your friends entice you to do anything other than what the Bible says, do not consent. Do not fall in line. Next, our own logic. Some of us are extremely impressed with our own personal intelligence. Now, your mother used to say you were stupid, but you've overcome that quite well. By our own logic, Isaiah 55:9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." I just want to warn everybody here. We come up real short in the area of intelligence. God knows everything. We pretty well don't know anything. And if you ever want to claim to know something, why don't you claim to know what He taught you? And that's the safest thing that you can do. But be careful. Now, I believe that you're to logic. But did you know something? There are all sorts of people out there who say, that just doesn't make sense to me, so I'm not going to do it. And they're referring to something they've been taught in the Bible. I cannot tell you how many people have said to me through the years, I'd say, well, in the church, the way to move up is to move down. The Bible says if you go around exalting yourself, you're going to push yourself down. Self-exaltation in the church is not God's way. You say, well, how am I going to get to the top? Don't want to go to the top. Be a humble servant. And if God wants you to put you at the top, He will. And there are people from our secular society that say, that does not make sense to me. The tithe, it does not make sense, especially to the lost. All you have to do is say to them, God gives you $100. You give Him 10%. You'll do better financially. And they go, that's stupid. How can I give you 10% and I do better? Works. It works. Say, I can't afford to. You can't afford not to. It just works. I testify. Matter of fact, I'm scared to death not to give it. Scared to death not to give it. Because I've seen how God blesses and meets the need. But be careful now. Your logic will not produce the greatest results in your decision making. Your emotions will not. Your upbringing, if it were anything but scriptural, it's not going to be good decision making. Your friends, and then your own logic. I might also say, be careful of the times or what is currently popular. That often comes into our decision making. Psalm 62:8 says, "Trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him." We seem to think, well, the times are changing. Why do you think so many churches have gone contemporary and new age? And why do you think so many of them have given up their standards and their convictions? Somebody logic through it and said, well, the times are changing. Though the times are changing, God never intended certain things to change. Why do you think they had the audacity to improve on the writing of the Bible? Well, it needs to be written in a language that's better understood in this day and age. They're making a mistake. Why? The times. So be careful that you don't make decisions because of the times. You say in this season. Now, in a moment, I'm going to teach you the obvious. You make your decisions based on the Bible. And it never changes. Boy, you talk about bring security into a life. But if you make decisions based on your emotions, those change. And they can change really fast. Your upbringing, it may or may not change, but it is not solid and predictable. Your friends, some of your friends that talked you into do something that they thought was brilliant last year, they're not even doing it anymore. They've changed already what they believe. Our own logic changes. The times change. Then you have to watch out for what I call circumstances. You say, I'm making this decision based on the circumstances. Well, there's a term, it's called situation ethics. In other words, I decide what's right and wrong based on the situation. Now, you say, now that seems to make a lot of sense. Well, really, we're supposed to decide what's right and wrong based on the Bible, not based on our situation. So situation ethics is when we look at the situation and we determine our ethical behavior or our moral behavior based on the situation or the circumstances. And God said, don't let circumstances determine right and wrong in your life. There's a more stable way of doing things. Why? Well, circumstances change. Situations change. Malachi 3:6, the Lord said, for I am the Lord, I change not. So, tonight, the whole lesson is about growth in our decision making. Now, I've given you some ways that we make decisions that are not good ways. They're not stable ways. I said our emotions, our upbringing or inherited philosophies, our friends, our own logic, the times, and our situations or ethics. All right, number two. To grow as a Christian, there is one major decision you need to make. If you say, preacher, I really want to grow in my decision making, I'm going to help you. If you would only get one point, one sentence from my entire sermon tonight, it can revolutionize your life. To grow in your decision making as a Christian, there's one major decision that must be made. You say, what is that? Make all your decisions based on the Bible. If you tonight, and you know, there are people in here that have not made that decision. There are people in here, you say, well, I'll pull the Bible in when I want it in. Now, that's your logic, that's your convenience, that's your circumstances. You're making your decision the wrong way. There are people in this room who have not said, I will make all my decisions based on the Bible. That is the key major decision that all the other successful decisions are connected to. The one biggest decision upon which all decision growth is founded is that you'll make all your decisions based on the Bible. There are some of you that would say, well, I don't think God's interested in certain parts of my life. Well, God's interested in all your life. Well, I don't think He has anything to say about this part. Look, if God didn't have something to say about a part of your life, He probably had decided that shouldn't be a part of your life. Because God directs our lives. You see, how often? 365 days a year, 366 on leap year, 24 hours a day, 52 weeks a year, God is interested in directing your life, all the way down to your sleep. God's interested in that. He gives direction on it all. If we would make the decision to make all our decisions based on the Word of God, all of our decisions God's way, then other things are going to fall into place. You say, well, then what? Well, then we spend the rest of our lives learning His Word so that we do make our decisions according to His Word. But the best thing for you, some people, they say, well, you know what? I've decided I'll let God decide what I do on Sunday morning. Okay, so they come to church Sunday morning and that's it. And if they're in church and God throws out a little something, they're willing to debate it. Do you know what would really help you? If you said, yeah, I think I'll let God make the decision in my life all day Sunday and all day Monday and all day Tuesday. But do you know there are actually people that say, I'll let God in and affect my decision making on Sunday. Then by Monday, they're back to making their own decisions their own way with their own logic or with what their friends said or what they heard on the news. Well, then they're only going to grow in their decision-making one day a week. Well, you're supposed to be growing 7 days a week. So we need to decide, you know, I want to do everything that God wants me to do. I want to make all my decisions God's way. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, for whatsoever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So God's saying, let me be a part of every decision that you make. So I told you, number one, there are ways that we try to make decisions that are not good ways, and we're not going to grow in our decision making if we're making them that way. I said, number two, there is one major decision that all your decision making growth is really going to hinge upon, and that is, I'll make all my decisions according to the Bible, or I'll make all my decisions God's way. God desires full control of our lives, and then he gives us his word to give us thorough instruction on how to live our life. You know, tonight, probably when we get to invitation time, I'm going to say to some of you, wouldn't it be a good idea for you to make the decision tonight for the first time in your life that you want God to be in charge of, to influence, you want God to make all the decisions in your life based on his word? Because I'm promising you, there are people that have sat in church for years that have never made that decision. You just decide that. Now, young people, look up here at me. There are some of you young people that you live in a home where mom and dad may have made that decision, but did you know something? Your dad making the decision that he wanted to make all of his decisions based on the Bible does not cover you. You have to decide that you are going to make your decisions based on the Bible. Now, dad and mom, and by the way, they have full right of requiring you to do what they tell you to do. But I just want you all to know, I've watched good young people grow up in a good Christian home where mom and dad said, we're going to live according to the Bible, and the decisions are going to be made from the Bible. But a young person steps out of the house, and the first minute they step out of the house, they go make their own decision their own way. Every young person ought to decide, I want to make all the decisions in my life based on the Bible. And notice, I didn't say, I'm not talking about you come to church. Now, all sorts of people come to church but haven't made the decision to let God make their decisions for them, let the Bible make their decision for them. This isn't a, you need to be in church. No, there's far more to it than that. So, number one, there are bad ways of making decisions. You won't grow if you make them the wrong ways. Number two, there is one key element to good decision making, and it is the biggest decision, and that is to let the Bible be your guide in all your decisions. Number three, growth comes then as we let God's Word control our thinking more and more. The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you want to grow in your decision making, you say, I am going to let God influence all my decisions. Then I learn the Bible, and God begins to influence my thinking. And I grow in my decision making as I act upon that foundational decision to let God control all my decisions. God's word is God's way of thinking. The way we think is the way we make our decisions. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Have you ever heard someone say, think for yourself, think for yourself? Now, that statement is not 100% the best thing. Now, if when someone says, think for yourself, they mean don't be lazy, use the mind God gave you, okay, I'm good with that. But most people that are saying, think for yourself mean, make this, you've got a brain, figure this out your way. You're not supposed to figure it out your way. You're figured out God's way. And so if someone says, God gave you a brain, now use it. Yeah, God gave you a brain hoping that you'd make the one major decision to let him make all the decisions, and then you just learn from his book how to make those decisions in accordance to his word. But God didn't give you a brain to go outside the confines and the protection of his word and what he commands in his word. So we are going to grow as we learn the Bible, and it helps us to make decisions based on the one big decision. You'll know if you're growing in the Lord. Let me ask you this. Have you found the Bible and its influence creeping into parts of your life that you never thought it would? You say, yeah, it's beginning to affect my music and my cell phone usage, my wardrobe, my... It's affecting me. That's good. Those are signs of growth. When God's influence is getting into those pockets of your life, and you thought, I would have never dreamed that I would be being influenced in those areas by my Christianity, God's doing something. You're growing. Number four. Growth requires more than the knowledge of what's right. It also requires that we obey the knowledge. God does not desire you have knowledge alone for what's right. He desires that you get the knowledge of what's right and then you obey what's right. There's more to this. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In other words, you say, boy, I have been learning the Bible right and left. I'm growing. Well, I have to tell you this. Learning it is about a half a step of growth. To take a whole step of growth, it's not just to learn it, it's to go do what you learned. Gathering knowledge of what God has is a half a step. You say, I learned what God wants in regard to my music. Now you've taken a half a step. But that's not a full-grown step. You say, now what? Go home and get rid of the trashy music. That's the whole step. See, some people just want a bunch of Bible knowledge, but they don't want to live it. That's not growth in its entirety. That is not the type of growth that God's looking for. God is not looking for you just to gather information. He's looking to give you truth, and then you enact the truth in your life. For instance, to stay alive, you must breathe air in and expel air out. It's a process. If you do one and not the other, you die. So air in is not adequate to pull this thing off, right? Air out is not adequate to pull this thing off. Spiritual growth in your decision making is like breathing. Learning the truth is breathing the spiritual air in. Obeying the truth that you learned is expelling the air. It brings life and growth. That makes sense? Okay, growth in your decision making is like riding a bike. You have to push the pedal down while the other is coming up. There has to be the back and forth. Look, if all you do is push that pedal down, you're not going anywhere. Your dad may be holding on to the seat, and you may be pushing that pedal down with your right foot, saying, Dad, I'm pushing the pedal as hard as I can. And he's going to say, you gotta pull it up. That's how you make it go forward. Just pushing the pedal down is not riding the bike. If you've got that pedal right here and your foot up under it, pulling up on it, saying, I got it up! I've got the pedal up! Your dad's gonna say, knucklehead, you gotta push down and pull up. Those pedals have to be doing this for you to be going forward. The pushing down is the learning of the truth. The pulling up is the expelling of the truth or the activating of the truth. And so some people say, I'm growing because I learned. You've not totally grown the way God wants you to grow. He didn't teach it to you to make you smart. He taught it to you to obey it to make you a Christian. You know, there are all sorts of people out there that know all sorts of Bible and they don't live any of it. And they're not good Christians. And God's not out there saying, boy, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give that guy a gold medal for all the stuff he put in his brain. God doesn't give out gold medals for what you put in your brain. God gives out golden crowns for what you learned that you enacted in your life. It's like shooting a bow and arrow. You know, when you shoot a bow and arrow, you must pull back. And then you must release it forward. Now, if your dad took a bow and said, pull that thing back and shoot it, and you pull it back, let me tell you, if it's a strong enough bow, there's a lot of tension on that thing. You pull it back and say, Dad, I'm shooting the bow and arrow. He'd say, no, you have to let it go or you're not shooting it. Dad, I'm shooting it. I'm shooting it. Look at me. I'm shooting it. No. You've just pulled the arrow back. It's once you let it go, the full process was shooting the arrow. Growth is not just getting the information. It's then putting the information into play. It's like a slingshot. You take an old-fashioned slingshot, you must pull back to get it to go forward. You ever got stuck in the snow? Now, some of you, snow is this white stuff. It falls from the sky. If you've ever gotten stuck in the snow and it's deep, you know what you do if you've got a rear-wheel drive car? You put the car in reverse to go backwards. Then what do? Real quick? You put it in drive to go forwards. You're going to rock that thing out of there. Okay. Look, truth, if you want to go forward, you take in and then you put out. There are all sorts of people that say, I'm just growing in leaps and bounds because I'm taking in and taking in and taking in and taking in. No, you grow in leaps and bounds by taking in and putting it into practice and taking in and then putting it into practice. If you sat in the pews of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church and say, I have learned so much. Boy, I have grown in the area of my Bible knowledge of tithing. But you learned it and you've never tithed once. You've not grown in that area. So I've learned in the area of soul winning. I know I'm to be a soul winner. But you have never gone out and told anybody about Jesus. You've not really completed the growth process. When you're trying to get your children out of diapers, if your child said to you, Mother, I realize I'm not supposed to do this in my pants. Do you know that the knowledge is good, but what do we want? We want a change of life, don't we? We don't consider them potty trained until they're potty trained. Don't you think God's smart enough to expect the same from us? So, I'm telling you, growth requires more than the obtaining of knowledge. You see, if a man has grown into being a good pilot, he didn't just go pass a test on the ground. He's been in the air. He's taken what he learned in his classes, and he took it out there, and he flew a plane. Better yet, he landed the plane in which he was flying. So, remember, if you want to grow in your decision-making, first of all, you got to be careful not to make your decisions the wrong ways. Then, there's one major decision that must be made on which all other decisions hinge, and that is, I want to make all my decisions God's way. Then, I grow as I seek out an understanding of the Bible so I can apply the different areas of life. I can figure out what God wants so I can make my decisions that way. But wait a minute. It is not just my gathering the information. It's getting the information and then acting upon it that fulfills the growth cycle. I'm almost done. Let me say one more thing. And I just tacked this on the end because it grabbed my attention right at the end of my Bible study on this. I reduce the frustration in my life by letting God make my decisions. Many of you make way too many decisions in life. A lot of times people that are just frustrated all the time are making decisions that they don't need to make. You say, what in the world are you talking about? I think confusion can come from too many decisions or forgetting about how to make your decisions. I think frustration comes from that. I think insecurity comes from that. You say, well, what do you mean? Look, there are certain things that I face. I already know what to do because I already decided what the Bible teaches about it. I don't have to rethink it. The Bible says, do this. So I do it. There are certain things that Mrs. Owens and I will face in life. We don't sit down for 45 minutes and debate it. We look at each other and say, well, we know what the Bible teaches on that. It's over. We just do it. You say, you just do what God said? Yeah. I don't have to, oh no. No, God said that's what's right to do. I already decided I was going to do what God said, so that's what I'm going to do. It's over. So what about the outcome? It's in God's hands. I'm just going to do what He told me to do. And there's some of you, you need to really grow. You need to say, I'm going to make all my decisions based on the Bible. I'll spend the rest of my life learning the Bible, but not just learning it. The minute I learn it, I'm going to apply it, so I'm going through the full growth cycle. And once I have learned, you know, you don't have to rethink. The Bible doesn't change. If God said something is right to do today, it will be right to do 10 years from now, and you don't have to rethink it 10 years from now. You say, what if I face that decision 10 years from now? Think back to what you already learned from the Bible and say, you know what? 10 years ago, God taught me this is right to do. I don't have to go through the chaos of a new decision. I'm going to do what's right. I've already decided. I don't make a lot of decisions in life, at least not new ones. I just think back to what did I already learn. I say, well, I've already been through this. The Bible says do this. I don't have to go through a mess to figure it out. I just need to do what God's already taught me to do. That will bring you security. That will bring you it'll take some chaos out of your life. So my whole thought for the night is this, though. You need to grow in your decisions. Grow in your decisions. Start out by making the big one, that you'll let Him make your decisions. Then you're seeking the Scripture to guide you on how He would make those decisions. Once you gain the knowledge, decide to put it into practice. And it'll make all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who here tonight would say, I think I need to be a little more attentive to my decision making. I need to make my decisions according to the Scripture. And maybe even there is someone who would say, I've never made the decision to let Him make all my decisions, to let Him be in control of all of them. But God has spoken to your heart. Who knows about what? Would you raise your hand and say, God spoke to me tonight. I think I needed something that I've received. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Here's the big challenge for tonight. There'll be people coming to the altar. I wish somebody would make the decision. I'm deciding tonight, maybe for the first time in my life, that I want Him to make all my decisions. I want to make every decision His way. Some of you may have made that decision, but you've slipped on it. You started negotiating on your decision making. You need to get back to just letting Him decide. It's the safest way. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment at the altar, whether you're a young person or you're a grown adult, if you need a moment at the altar, you come. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Let's make our decisions His way. About everything. If you would decide, from now on, every decision I make, I want to make it His way. From now on, I will make my decisions based on the Bible. And remember, it's not just gathering Bible knowledge. It's Bible knowledge that is applied to your life. You have not totally learned a truth because you have a mental recognition of it. I recognize it, now I'm going to live it. It's going to become a part of me. You know, the Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Knowing the truth will make you free to being able to obey that truth. Then it opens up other truths to you. Tonight's lesson, growth in our decision making. This is the last time through the song. Super. Folks, if you'll have a real quick